will that defense travel to Minnesota?
That is always the question. Always the question. Can it fit in a carry-on bag?
This is Queens of the Court.
What's going on, y'all? It is your favorite podcast duo. Welcome to another episode of Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast produced in partnership with the WNBA. I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. And court.
And court.
Is in session.
In session.
That like echoed.
I was like, it did echo. I thought it was just me.
No, it did.
Jordan, you want the truth?
I always want the truth.
Okay.
I love the truth.
I'm doing great, but I'm exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm doing. How are you doing?
I feel that. The Monday is Mondaying, but... Wait. I don't know if you guys aren't looking at the video, like if you guys are just catching the audio, you're not going to be able to see Cheryl's glam right now. Like the hair is laid to the side, the makeup on point. Meanwhile, my afro is taking up 90% of my brain.
But listen, but do you know how I feel about the fro? The fro is so you. Not everybody can really rock a fro for real. And I love the fro because it's all you. Like it is you. And you wear it very well, my sister. Very, very, very well.
Thank
it looks
you.
Good
Thank
on you. That's a lot
I did
of
not hair. Say that statement to fish for compliments. It's actually like an to. Extra 10 degrees under here as well. That's what I used to say when I used to play basketball. Like I would give my height and then I would give my height with my hair because that's a difference. It's like a couple
did you
inches
did you
difference.
Play with your hair like that or did you like put it in ponytail or two afro puffs?
Well, you know, mostly it was in braids because
I can see the afro puffs though.
Now I do play in some afro puffs. It's like an automatic. When I walk on the court with some afro puffs, you don't want to mess with me. That's an extra intimidation factor, I think.
I feel that. But on a whole nother note, sorry to like change subjects real quick because I think this is really interesting. So I get a text message today. From it's someone I know, but she's not really a friend. She's someone I know through a friend, right?
Okay, yeah.
But the text message was like, "Cheryl, this is so and so. Please call me urgent."
Oh,
right. And I was like, "You and I don't have a relationship like that. So, what could you possibly need from me that's urgent?" So I proceed to call my friend that knows her. And I was like,
you didn't even call the urgent.
Well, I'm getting there. But I was like, do you know like what it is that's so urgent? She was like, girl, I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay. So I go back and forth. I'm like, do I dare call or do I just leave it alone and see if she'll call or text me? Couple hours go by. I don't text. I don't call. I get another text message, Jordan. Cheryl, sorry to bother you, but please call me. So I'm like, all right, when I had my little break today. So I text. I didn't call. I text and I was like, hey, Cheryl, what's going on? Got your message. I'm in the middle of something. Can't talk. What's up? No. I don't want to text this to you. Please call me. So I'm like, damn. So I call. You're going to be like, really? That's what she wanted? So I call. I'm like, what's
up? On
the
edge of my seat.
No. So she's like, listen, I ain't saying no names. But she's like, I have a deadline. I'm getting ready to write a story. And I just need to know. I need to verify something from you. So I was like, okay. I don't know what it is. Girl, she said... Well, I have heard that you're up for the Chicago Sky job
No.
I just want to get your thoughts. This is how this is how silent I was.
Do you? What? That's some news to me.
After a long bit of silence, I said, I'm not even going to ask you where that came from, who said it, because it doesn't really matter. All I'm going to tell you is there is no story, not for me, for you to write. Not true. Don't want it. They ain't reached out. Like, I was like, no. Yeah. But you know, it's like so crazy how stuff like that just comes out of nowhere. I'm like, who in the world told you that?
That is so random. I swear I thought you were going to bring this back to the hair conversation. And it was like, I need to verify who your hair source is.
Oh my
is.
God. No,
where you
Jordan.
Get your hair from.
Girl, I was like, I knew I shouldn't have called you. I knew it. This is not urgent. This is not urgent news. I was like, do not go anywhere with that story. Like, don't even put in there, well, I heard that Cheryl Supes was in line for the job. Don't do that.
Well, you really set the record straight here. So there is no, I don't even know where that rumor came from, but no.
That ain't true.
You remain in the court and we here talk about the games. We're not coaching. We're just talking about it, having a good time with it. And
because you know what is true? Yeah, so you know what is true? We got a series now.
We are tied. One is all tied up. Let's recap game two because it was. Let's give the facts first before we dive into it. The Liberty defeat the Lynx 80-66 in New York to give the series a 1-1 tie as we head to Minnesota. And what I was going to say is it felt like deja vu. Game two started very similar to game one last Thursday. The Liberty jumped out to a big lead, 17-point lead in the second quarter. New York led 23-21 before scoring the final 8 points of the first quarter to go up by 10 at the break. But then here come the Lynx. They start chipping away little by little. They don't panic and they start coming back. And then we look up. It's a 2-point game with under 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Liberty ended on a 12-0 run to close out the game. But Cheryl, if you're New York, you are thinking, here
not again.
We go again. What was different this time for New York to hold off and get the win?
Here, you know what I felt when I was watching the game? Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy because I was thinking it, and then Cindy Brunson actually texted me what I was thinking. Seriously, I was like, great minds. So to me, Minnesota, the entire game, even when they were down, Minnesota, they were playing like they expected to win the game. And the Liberty were playing like they were hoping to win the game.
I like that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because with Minnesota, regardless of how the game started, just like game one, I was like, here we go again. They never panicked. And it was just kind of like they were like, oh, we've been here before. We're going to win this game. And when I watched the Liberty, I was just like, they have the lead. They were playing well, but there was still a part of me that when I looked at them, it was like they were just trying to hold on, right? Like, mm-hmm. Let's just hold on, and hope that we can walk out of here with a dub. But I will tell you what I felt like was the biggest difference in that game. Benijah, LaQuita.
Oh, LaQuita.
Darnisha.
a double middle and a double last name?
Yeah. She gets both. Benijah, whatever I said the middle name, Lainey Hamilton. She showed up and showed out.
20 points, finals career high, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 57% shooting from the field, 67% from the 3-point range. Yeah. So, yes, Benijah was that girl, Queen Bee, as they call her. You know, she joked after the game saying, "Woo, that shot finally started to fall." Huh? But it wasn't even the shot. It was the types of shots. She wasn't forcing anything. And then on the other side, it was defense. You know, the WNBA countdown crew, Andrea, she said, Benijah needs to be on the floor. We know that she is is recovering from surgery, not just an injury, from surgery. She was only playing about 4 minutes at a time. But you got to figure out the spacing of those minutes, because at the end of regulation in game one, she wasn't on the floor. In overtime, she wasn't on the floor. So I think they did a better job of just saying, you need to be on the floor. And then she
On the floor. You have to, just her presence alone. Like, when she is 100% healthy, Benijah is one of the better defenders in the league to me. And the other night, she had the assignment of not only defending Courtney Williams and trying to slow her down, but whoever was in front of her, she was like, not today, not in my house, not on my floor. 100% Benijah Lainey was the difference. I thought Stewie had a nice bounce back game, because Jordan, as a player, right, a former player, you got, especially in the finals, right, like every game, but the finals, You got to be able to put everything out of your mind, good or bad, right? And in Stewie's case, game one, right? The missed free throw, the missed layup. She don't need nobody to tell her, because Stewie is like, I can't believe that happened. So you got to be able to put that out of your mind and move on to the next game. And I thought Stewie, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, She came back like, that game one was not me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is who I am. Mm-hmm. Let me just remind y'all a little bit.
Absolutely. She said she wanted to change the narrative. She didn't want the whole narrative to be centered around Cambrianna Stewart closed the game. Like, she changed it to,
for sure,
hey, I'm a bucket getter, but also I'm a good defender too, because she set a WNBA finals record with steals in a single game with seven steals.
Not seven.
In a game. Yeah. She was everywhere. Her hands were up. She would come to the help side with hands up. And I think the defense part was key for the Liberty. They forced the Lynx into 10 turnovers in each half. That is not how the Lynx play basketball. They don't turn the ball over. They average 11 and a half turnovers per game in the postseason. But just in game two, they're getting 20. That's not like them. So it was the Liberty's defense that really took care of business. And I think Stewie and Benijah led the charge in that way.
Yeah, and it's nice. Just, I always say this, everybody's going to have an off night offensively. Like, that's just sports. That's unfortunately, that's what happens. But defensively, like, you should never have an off night defensively, because defense is all about effort and want to. And when you get to the finals, everybody should want to be able to defend her player. And I thought this game, when you talk about what Benijah did offensively, what Stewie did offensively, and Sabrina shot the ball well, but on the defensive end is where I feel like they were able to win this game. Question is, and before we even get there, but the question is, will that defense travel to Minnesota?
That is always the question. Always the question. Can it fit in a carry-on bag?
Ooh. If it don't fit in a carry-on, can they check it in?
Can they check it?
Maybe. If it's me, I'm carrying it on. Because I need it to be with me at all times. I don't need it to get lost, misplaced.
It could get lost.
I need it to if stay you check in the door.
It could be in Cancun by the time the game start. If you check it, you got to carry on that defense. And we'll see.
Ooh, that's good. That's good, Jordan. That's good.
If New York can get it done. Now let's switch over to Minnesota. So we talked about in game one how Minnesota gritted out that win, but they didn't have a great game. Like, I think everybody would kind of agree it wasn't their best game ever.
No.
Still were able to pull out the win. Game two, I want to hear, I'm curious what you saw from the defensive scheme on Fee, because she was held to 16 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals. That's still a great stat line for anybody else. But for Nafisa, who's averaging She's averaging about 26 points a game at this point. To me, I saw them being more physical with her. And with Fee, you don't usually see her get riled up, or, you know, Stewie was calling for her to get a tech. She was really going after the refs. That seemed to be a part of their game plan. But what did you kind of see that New York took her out of her groove a little bit?
Well, that was the first thing I noticed. And if you look at the other series, right, I kind of felt like, and it's not to take anything away from Fee, but I kind of felt like they gave her space, right, to operate, to do what she does best. In every other series they played, instead of not only being physical with her, but crowding her. And what I mean by crowding her is when she has the ball, whether that's on the perimeter, whether that's on the block, get up in her space, force her to put the ball on the floor and have to get by you. But you can only do that if you know that your defense is going to be there to rotate, because Fee commands that much attention. And I totally agree with you. But Jordan, I also don't know if we've seen any other teams all season be that physical with Fee.
That
was very different from her, made her uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And like you said, that stat line is good for anybody else. It's not good for, it's just okay for Nafisa Collier.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's what Minnesota's going to have to do. You're going home now, right? Fee has 16. Courtney Williams, I think, is playing really well. She's doing what she does. She's scoring the ball. She's assisting. Alana Smith had 14. They need some more scoring to be able to give Fee a little bit more room to work, right? And who I think that can and needs to be when they go home, Bridget Carlton.
Say it. Yes. I'm right
there
with
you. You got to show up. You got to show up, boo.
It's time.
Yeah. It's the finals. This is why you get paid the big bucks. And if Bridget Carlton is knocking down shots, Courtney Williams is going to play. Even if her shot ain't falling, you know Courtney Williams is a dog. She going to do what
she does. It's still going up. Yeah.
And Alana Smith, her ability to bring JJ away from the basket, to knock down the three, I mean, Kayla McBride, she's got to shoot the ball, but Bridget Carlton has not shown up in either game. And the player to me that can make a difference coming in off the bench, Natisha Heidemann.
Yes. Yeah, Natisha had a great game one. I don't think we talked about her at all last episode,
she had a great game one coming in
minutes when you, as a point guard coming off the bench, your job is to take care of the ball and knock down the open shot. Like, you're not trying to do anything spectacular. She finished at the rim really well. She's known for shooting the three ball, but she was just able to pick her spots and not force the issue. I will say, though, with Minnesota, here is my Cheryl Reeve, you're a saint. But I have one gripe with her in this game.
What is it?
And it is very specific. At the end, so Fee picks up her fourth foul. And I think that was a little bit of a turning point for Minnesota because Cheryl Reeve had to take her out. This is the end of the third quarter, about 3 minutes left. She takes Fee out, but she also takes out Courtney Williams and she also takes out Alanna Smith.
Oh, yeah. No.
And no. I was like, okay, it was a little bit of a weird lineup. And I could see that it was like, okay, we're just resting them because we need them for the fourth. Mm-mm. But New York went on a run and it was an important 3 minutes. Like, I feel like that changed a huge swing. And I was just kind of like, okay, you're just going to let it rock. Like, it's no spite, you know, no shade to the second unit. But it was a lot. But it was a lot to put on them for 3 minutes in the third. Cheryl dropped her mic.
Did you see my face?
Yes, your face was hilarious.
It's like, oh, oh. Well, and here's the thing, right? Yes, Fee picked up her fourth foul, so you got to take her out for a minute. But you're still trying to win the game.
I know.
You can't, but you can't have Fee, Alanna, and Courtney out of the game at the same time at a crucial point of the game when you're still trying to come back and win the game.
You're still making your
comeback. I agree with you on that point. I totally agree with you on that point.
Yeah.
So here's the other thing. Fee, stay out of foul trouble.
I know. Well, that was
way too important and too valuable to this team to – I mean, she pretty much needs to play the whole game.
Yeah.
She has to be on the floor because even if she's not scoring the ball, she commands so much attention that other people are going to have open shots, i.e. Bridget Carlton, step up and knock down shots. You a shooter. That's what you do, boo.
That's what you do. Okay, game three. We're going back to Minnesota. We've talked about and we are in agreement that Bridget Carlton needs to be that player that has to step up for Minnesota, for the Lynx at home. Game one, she had 17 points of the playoffs against Connecticut. They need that type of performance from Bridget Carlton again. Mm-hmm. Who is the player that needs to step up for New York for them to kind of win two in a row here? Because that would also be huge for them to win two in a row.
I think B'nai Jelani has got to do in game three what she did in game two. And that's on both ends of the floor, right? I'm always going to go back with JJ, with Jonquel Jones.
Yes.
Her presence in the paint causes problems for Minnesota. Here's what I need from JJ, though. One, I need her to be strong with the basketball when she catches it. And there are times when she catches the ball on the block, she's putting it on the deck when she doesn't really have to. Because when you put the ball on the deck, the little pesky guards, the Courtney Williams, the Kayla McBrides, they're coming in.
Yes, they were swiping at it. That was the scouting report, clearly.
Yeah. And you can see when Fee is defending JJ, like, that's a struggle for her. Fee tries to be physical with her and get up in her space. If JJ would just catch it, be patient, be strong with the ball, and do a nice little drop step, one way or the other, depending on what side of the basket she's on, a nice little drop step and lay it up and finish, she could have that all night. Or just a nice little turnaround jumper.
All night.
A nice little turnaround jumper. You don't need to dribble. You don't need to put it on the floor. You don't need to be at the three-point line. Because Nafisa Collier is going to come out at the three-point line and defend you. And when you put the ball on the deck to try to go by and get to the hole, they can defend you. She's a problem when she's on the block.
Look, Cheryl, you know, we talked about my afro. Mm-hmm. And in here, you can't see them, but there are a lot of gray hairs. And all of them have come from Jonquil Jones. I was screaming at my TV at get in the post. And we talked about it. I'm like, JJ, did you not listen to Queens of the Court last week? What are you doing?
Clearly she did not.
Clearly. I was so frustrated because for multiple reasons. First, I want the Liberty coaching staff to play those first 4 minutes of game one to JJ over and over on a loop because those multiple and ones of her getting deep in the post and do, like when those were happening, the Lynx team were like, man, it's going to be a long night. And then you were like, just kidding. I'm not going to do that anymore. Like
it was almost like she got tired of doing that. Listen, I got to a point where I was talking to the TV. I was talking to JJ through the TV. And finally, I just threw my hands up and said, you know what? I'm tired. I give up of telling her to get on the block. I'm like, I'm done. Do what you want to do.
I really hope that comes back. She had 14 points, 9 rebounds.
She could be the difference in, you know, even if they can't get two, they have to get one.
In Minnesota.
Yeah, they have to.
They have to. You don't want this to go to a game. Oh, but I kind of wanted to go to a game five. Woo!
I wanted to go to a game five.
I know that would be fun. But you have to get one because Minnesota got one on your home court. Exactly. So you got to return the favor if you want to go to a game five.
Yeah.
All right. Those are our X factors. I'm excited. I'm going to be seated front row of my TV. I'm not going to actually be there. I wish. But game three on Wednesday. I'm not like Cheryl. I don't just get courtside seats whenever.
I don't either. It depends on where I am. I get them everywhere. So there, Jordan.
All right. That's going to be a great game three. We're going to take a quick break. We'll have more Lynx and Liberty a little bit later. But when we come back, we're talking Golden State. Welcome back to Queens of the Court. During that break, I had a realization. All of my frustration for Jonquil Jones is because I am 5'5". And if I was 6'6", with a beautiful head of dreadlocks, I would be posting up so much that at the end of the game, like everyone would be out of the arena. The security would have to take me out of the paint. They would say, actually, it's time to go. Like, you've been on the block too long. It's time to go. That's how much I would be posting up. So that's where Jordan, my frustrations lie.
I do think you're going to step out and take a couple of threes a game, though. you're going to step outside that paint.
I mean, you're taking what the defense gives you. And if Alanna Smith is on me, I'm posting up. Anyway.
If anybody on Minnesota's team is guarding you, you should be posting up.
Anyway.
Yeah. Jordan from the block. Oh, don't be fooled by the rocks that I got. I'm still Jordan from the block.
But it's me on the block. I love it. Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
That's great. Moving on. Some big news from last week. Yeah, late last week. Golden State Valkyries have their head coach. In a bomb dropped. They just said, oh, here you go. Boom.
They did. They really did.
Here's our head coach. And I don't know if it was who we were thinking. We were speculating, throwing names out. But Natalie Nakase, who was the assistant coach for 3 seasons and won 2 WNBA championships with the Las Vegas Aces, she is the Valkyries head coach. And congratulations, Coach Natalie. Yeah. This is awesome. What a great head coaching job.
Yeah. You know what I love about this hire? First of all, it's a woman.
Yes.
I am so here for that. And second of all, not only has she been in the W, like under Becky's tutelage, she's been in the NBA, right? Like was with the Clippers, which is great. Mm-hmm. She absolutely has the knowledge, the experience. But I love the fact that we're getting some new blood.
Yeah,
It's not the recirculation of the same old coaches. And I think it's great that she's getting an opportunity. The Valkyries are like, oh, no, we want you. We see you. We want you. Come on. Come on, girl.
It does feel like that. They're like, we want this is our first franchise head coach. Like, what a position to be put in. Yeah. But it was very much like we put the bat signal up, and I'm sure she interviewed super well. Like you said, she was an assistant for the Clippers. She was a walk-on at UCLA. She's coached in Japan, the men's team in Japan. She has the resume. So it's amazing to see her get this opportunity at her first head coaching job and just like a full fresh start. I feel like the Valkyries were like, we want a clean slate. Let's go. 0-0 for the Valkyries. I think this is a great pick, and I'm excited to see what she does.
Yeah, and just the few videos I've seen on social media, like, she's bought in. She's all bought in. She's excited about it. And I'm excited for her energy, but I'm excited to see what they do in this expansion draft, right? Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. It this is going to be good. Great. Great hire.
Going to be great. And you know, I feel like the Valkyries had to say, "Hey, here's our head coach." They had to put it out there because you're trying to attract players. And I think the thing about Coach Natalie Nakase, the Aces had wonderful things to say. They were so congratulatory of her on all the players on this opportunity, the whole franchise, you know, so that's already a positive light that she is kind of cast in when players are like, okay, who do I want to go play for? But let's get into this.
Well, they're complimentary until she goes and takes some of the Aces players.
No.
Yeah.
Because they have that opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Essentially, if you're new to the league, essentially think of it like this. The Golden State Valkyries get to go shopping. Like, they get to go shopping across the league. Let's get down to the rules, because finally we have some expansion rules. First, the draft will be held on December 6th on ESPN. That feels like it is tomorrow. That is going to come up so quick. The Valkyries can choose 12 players, one from each existing team, to stock their roster. The Valkyries can choose players who are under contract, unrestricted free agents, the rights to restricted free agents, rights to reserve players, rights to drafted players who never sign, and rights to suspended players who weren't in the league this year. They even have rights to retired players that teams have quietly hung on to in case someone wanted to make a comeback. Now that is very interesting. Huh? I did not know that tidbit. And in my head, I'm thinking, before Maya Moore officially retired, were they like, okay, we're going to go get Maya Moore? Like, technically, she's with Minnesota. Technically, she's retired. But could we go get her?
Wow.
I don't know. This is an interesting little tidbit right there.
Yeah. And so, because I immediately started thinking about recently retired players that could make a comeback.
Mm-hmm. And Maya Moore, waiting for this.
And Maya Moore was the first player that I think about.
Let's start those rumors.
You could go with Candace Parker. But I think Candace is done, but I don't know. Candace might be like, okay. I mean, the Aces went and got Tiffany Hayes out of retirement.
Anything is possible, is what I'm hearing.
Okay, so question.
Yeah.
EDD is not retired. but is she suspended? I guess my question is, could the Valkyries get EDD?
That is a great question. EDD is the biggest question mark I have going into this offseason. Is she going to come back to the Mystics? Do the Valkyries say, like, hey, I don't know. Would you pick EDD to come be a part of the Valkyries? We don't know if she... Where is EDD? Is she still hoping? Like, I'm like, are we going off of MVP EDD? Okay, that's interesting. So back to the rules.
They can take one player from each team. Oh my gosh. But they can't touch protected players, correct?
Correct. Okay. So each roster can protect 6 players. Those players, Golden State has to look the other way. That includes players who are about to be unrestricted free agents. So essentially, if they're unrestricted free agents, the team that they are currently on has the right to negotiate first. So the Valkyries can't really tag on to those players. But as of January, when the expansion draft is all done, Golden State can start wheeling and dealing. They could start chasing free agents, making deals just like everybody else. And then when it comes to April's draft, it's a very common misconception that the new expansion team is going to get the number one pick. That's not true. We have a draft lottery coming up in November, but the Valkyries will pick 5th. So it's not going to be a Paige Becker's number one pick in the Valkyries uniform. The Photoshops have lied to you.
But you know what? There is a really good possibility that the Valkyries could be in the playoffs year one.
Whoa! That's a hot take, Cheryl.
They could. When you look at what they're allowed to do to build their team, I probably have 5 players at the top of my head right now that I'm like, if the Valkyries can get these 5 players, they in that thing.
Do you want to share those players or are you okay?
Oh, no.
All right. That's what I thought.
No.
But there are
some really good free agents out there.
There's some good free agents. I think that is the place to stand, that there are some good free agents out there. They get, let me say this, because with your hot take, I'm still blown aback by that. Historically, expansion draft teams have not done well their first season, because this is kind of the pattern. You get these players, you get the 5th pick, and you're starting to build.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the first year or the second year, because you have a lower record, then you get a number one pick. That's kind of what the history tells us. But there's a lot more parity in this league now. The talent level is high. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you're completely...
So here's one player. Here's one player that I will bring up, because you know how I feel about it. I would take Odyssey Sims to be my point guard.
There you go.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And if I got Odyssey, I mean, it's out there. I'm not mad about Kelsey Mitchell possibly being on a wing.
Woo! That's the free agent you going for?
I mean, why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
And I like there's that. A few other ones that I'm not going to name. But that's a good place to start. And you get the number 5 pick. Like, this draft coming up is going to be pretty good.
It's a good draft. Like, it's a really good draft to have the fifth pick. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm just thinking about how we have to go through this multiple times. Like, there are multiple expansion teams coming up. This is
Toronto,
nerve-wracking.
Portland. Do you see the rules? Okay. If the Valkyries, even if they don't make the playoffs first year, but if the Valkyries have a really good season, a good year, do you see the expansion draft rules changing for Toronto and changing for Portland?
That's interesting.
Because here's the thing. Toronto and Portland should not, and I don't know these rules, but they should not be able to touch anybody on the Valkyries.
Oh. Huh. The Valkyries are like, we just worked so hard for this. Please don't come and take our players.
So if they can't, then that means the rules are changing.
Well, if it was the same rules, technically Toronto would, like, if we're just using Toronto, I also don't know how that works because it'll be two teams. So if Toronto would just have to, they would only be taking one player from the Valkyries. And so if you're the Valkyries, you want to make sure people are signed to a multi-year contract. So they're not
but you still only get to protect six players. After you just did all of this to put your team together, you can only protect six. So that seventh player, Toronto or Portland, might be like, come on. Come on. And if I'm the Valkyries, I'm like, damn, we just started, you know, look, we just put our team together.
I will say this.
You know what? It's exciting that we're even talking about this.
I know.
Oh my gosh. And there's so many players who didn't make it this year that got cut. I'm like, oh, but now you can go get her and her and her and that one. Jordan, it's some good players out there who should be on somebody's roster right now and they're not.
It's some good players, and it is the franchise is shiny and new, and they already have a practice facility, and money is pouring out. Like, this is a place where people want to run and go play for. So they are going to have a good problem on their hands. Yep. But I will say this. I'm glad it ain't my job, because that seems really, really hard.
It's gonna be good.
They're making a lot of money for a reason. Not high. We do have some clarification, though. We wanted to make sure we get this out here for Elena Deladon, because we were tossing her name out. Let's look at the facts. We got EDD was cored by Washington before the 2024 season, but a deal was never completed and she never signed a contract.
Mm.
Oh, she's selectable in the expansion draft and would have to be listed as one of Washington's six protected players if they want to block the possibility of Golden State taking her. Thank you, producer James.
Thanks, James.
Holy crap.
Here's my thing. Just let her go.
Let her go. She wants to go.
She's been very clear. She does not want to be in Washington anymore. So you core, she does the same thing she did this year. She says, I'm
right.
So now that's a spot that's gone. But if I'm Washington right now, you're kind of sort of in a rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
Just go with what you got and let her go. Yeah.
Be free. Also, EDD, come on the podcast. We want to know what's up. What's going on?
Come on, Elena.
Come on the pod. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay, overall, I'm excited. I mean, this is going to be good. I think it's going to be the finals are great. And then right after the finals, we are going to get a lottery night. So we're going to see who gets the number one pick, the second pick, third pick, fourth pick. We're going to go through all that. Then we get the expansion draft. Then we have the college hoop season. Then we get the April. Man, women's hoops is here to stay.
It's
some exciting stuff all year round.
Good.
Ooh, it's
good.
All right, after the break, I'm going to bet on it with a new segment called What Are the Odds? Then after that, we're going to give out some flowers. We'll be right back. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is What Are the Odds, sponsored by DraftKings, an official partner of the WNBA. The crown is yours. It's Jordan here, and I am going to give a What Are the Odds for the prompt. Will the Lynx defend home court in game 3? I think yes, like for sure. They already stole game 1. In front of a crazy New York Liberty crowd. Then game 2, they came up short. Breanna Stewart balled out. Benaja Laney-Hamilton balled out. Standing room only in Barclays. But coming back to Minnesota for game 3, they are going to win this. The Lynx are known for having a great home atmosphere. And when you think about it, the Lynx have won 4 WNBA championships, 4 of them. This is their title to be the first franchise to get 5 WNBA championships. You don't think Minnesota is going to call everybody they know to make it home court advantage? I think for sure. We know Courtney Williams is a dog. She is a bucket getter. She can do it on the road. She can do it at home. But Nafisa Collier is really interesting because she did not have a great game in game 2. Only held to 16 points, 8 rebounds, well under her playoff average of 26 points per game. She has been thinking about that game. She's been thinking about the coverage and the physicality that New York Liberty played with. She's going to come back on her home court and make sure that they get a win in game 3. Because then after game 3, you only need one more. I think that's their mentality going into this. There's another player that I'm super interested who I think, you know, there's some players that just play better at home. And Bridget Carleton is one of those players. She had a breakout game, 17 points in game 1 of the playoffs against Connecticut. So now they're going to come back home. She's due. She's had 2-point games, 8-point games. She hasn't been making it from the 3 as consistently. She's due for a big time game. What better way to do that on your home court? So overall, in conclusion, yes, the Lynx will defend home court in game 3. That is my opinion. But yeah, come back and see if we're right. Listen to Queens of the Court. This has been What Are the Odds, sponsored by DraftKings, an official partner of the WNBA. The crown is yours. Welcome back to Queens of the Court. It's time for Giving Flowers, presented by AT&T. I got some flowers, Cheryl. I want to give out.
You do?
I do.
I want to hear. I want to hear. I want to hear. Who are you giving your flowers to today?
I'm giving some flowers to one of the greatest bucket getters in women's hoops history.
I know who it is.
Oh, you
know. I don't know. I think I do.
I gave it away. No.
And I guess before you say her name. Sure. No.
No, you don't want to guess? It's okay.
I do.
I'm gonna
say it. I'm gonna say it. Simone Augustus.
Yes. Ding 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 ding.
I knew it.
Money, yeah. Moan. Simone Augustus is now a Naismith Hall of Famer. Oh, it just gives me
welcome to chill. The fam, money.
Yes. Well, let me give a quick backstory. Cheryl, you and I, well, I moderated a panel with you and Simone Augustus at the Final Four. And that morning, she found out that she was going to be inducted. And when we were sitting on the panel for Play of Society and we're talking about it, and it really hit her, all of the emotions at one time. And it was, I will never forget that moment. Never. Because we were giving her flowers right then. But for her to like really let it sink in, like, oh, I'm one of the best ever. And she is so no deserving. It was such a special moment. I don't know if we have enough time in the segment number one overall pick in 2006, rookie of the year, four-time WNBA champ, finals MVP, eight-time all-star, three-time Olympic gold medalist, Money Moe. Money Moe. And just a great person, too. So there are your flowers, Money.
And I don't know if you listened to her speech, her Hall of Fame speech. Girl, but when I tell you, I was like, okay. And she's a poet, too.
She can do everything. Listen,
y'all have not listened to Simone Augustus' Hall of Fame induction speech. Please Google it, because it was
so good.
Chef's kiss.
Also, the monochrome beautiful. Look, the purple on. Come on.
The lavender. Was it purple or lavender? I don't know.
But it was lavender. Looked, yeah.
She looked really, really good. Yeah. That's a good one.
Great.
Congrats, Mom.
Thank you. Congrats.
All right. So that was good, Jordan.
Thanks.
So I am going to not give my flowers to any one person in particular, but with this being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I personally have been affected by lots of different cancers. I've lost aunts to breast cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer, uncles to prostate cancer, blood cancer, all types. Mm-hmm. I just want to send flowers and give flowers to every person out there who is suffering from breast cancer, any type of cancer for that matter, but in particular breast cancer, any family members whose loved ones are dealing with it, to survivors, to people who are currently battling it. I want to say to you that we see you, we hear you, we feel you, we got you, you're not alone. And if you haven't been screened or got a mammogram, please do, because early detection is key and it can potentially save your life. So to everybody out there who is dealing with any form of cancer, these flowers are for you. Stay in the fight, continue fighting. And we got you.
So I love it. Perfectly said. Beautifully said. Oh, flowers, flowers abundance. Bouquet. You get a bouquet. You get a bouquet.
And they're pink. They're pink roses, by
the way.
They're
pink roses. Those were the flowers I had in my mind. So that was perfect. This has been Giving Flowers presented by AT&T. Make sure to continue to rate, follow, review the show, send us a message, send us an email. Tell us how you're feeling about these finals, because they have been everything. Like, this is what we needed after this season. It's been so good. So tell us how hype you've been at queensofthecourt@odyssey.com.
And y'all, listen, we don't have very many more episodes left, but we want to give out our Queens of the Court awards. So
yeah.
If you have any awards that you want us to give out, send them to us. You can send them to the email, or you can send them to us on social media. You can find me at AirSwoops22, and Jordan is at HeyJordanR.
Queens of the Court is an Odyssey original created in partnership with the WNBA.
The show is produced by James Jackson. The executive producers are Asha Saluja, Maddie Sprung-Kaiser, and Leah Reese-Dennis. Social media assistance from Isabella Apple. Music from T-Storm Battle. And a very special thank you to Alex Ozzy and Lena Moss Blazer.
And Court.
And Court.
Is adjourned.
Is adjourned.